to Matthew, but I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 11, the other record of the Lord's Prayer, for you to compare it a little bit with what we're doing in Matthew. So it's Luke chapter 11, the first four verses. Following the reading of Scripture, we'll sing together the Gloria Patri. Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And God will add his blessing to this reading of his word. We've been working our way through the Lord's Prayer, and today we come this morning to the fourth petition, which is, "Give us this day our daily bread." The first three petitions are all regarding God's glory. Our greatest prayer, our greatest desire and ambition is, "Hallowed be your name." And then following up with that is, "Your kingdom come," the kingdom of grace in this world, the kingdom of glory at Jesus' return. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That we want to serve God as the angels do in heaven. And we embark on these last three petitions, which are, so those first three are all focused on the glory of God. These last three are focused on our own needs. And in a sense, they look at our present, our past and present, and our future. "Give us this day our daily bread." That's the present. "Forgive us our sins or trespasses or debts as we forgive those who sin against us." That's our past and our present. And then, "Lead us not in temptation," looking to our future. But this particular petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." What do we pray for in the fourth petition? Just to give you a couple catechism answers. The shorter catechism says, in the fourth petition, which is, "Give us this day our daily bread," we pray that God's free gift, that of God's free gift, we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy his blessings with them. From the Children's Catechism, what do we pray for in this fourth petition? That God would give us all things needful for our bodies and souls. We pray for God to give us what is necessary. But as we look at this particular request that you're commanded to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," there are three questions I want to ask that hopefully help us think through the implications of this particular petition. One is, why do we have to pray for bread? What is the significance of Jesus telling us we need to pray for that? The second question is, why do we need to pray daily for bread? Give us this day our daily bread. What's the significance of having to pray every single day for bread? And then, why do we have to continually pray this? You'll pray it today, you'll pray it tomorrow, you'll pray it the next day, you'll pray it the day after that. You will never not pray this prayer. What is the significance of the fact that we never quit asking this prayer? Why do we need to pray for bread? Well, this request brings us right to the forefront of the distinction between the Creator and the creature. God created us hungry. God created us as dependent beings. You and I are totally dependent. It highlights the difference between the Creator and the creature. Our God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth and of us, is totally self-sufficient. He is alone in glory. He's solitary in his majesty. He needs nothing. He needs no one. He's all-sufficient himself in his glory. It's quite a contrast to you and to me. We're utterly and completely dependent upon God. We could not, as Paul would say, even have a breath without the sustaining providence of Almighty God. And we've had an infant baptism today, and it's hard to imagine a more helpless being, human being, than a baby. They can do nothing for themselves. They can't clean themselves, they can't feed themselves, they can't wash themselves, they can't take care of themselves. It's one of the reasons why abortion and any assaults against an infant is so odious to us, because you're assaulting someone that's helpless. And even though infant baptism is an offense to some, in a sense it's a great picture, a reminder of the utter helplessness, utter need we have of God's grace. We bring nothing to God. We receive everything from Him. And baptism is a great picture, not just infant baptism, even adult baptism, believer's baptism. You never go to a baptism and hear someone say, "I baptize me in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Baptism is something you receive. Baptism is never an indication of a person's faith. It's always a picture of grace. Always. However it's done. You and I are totally dependent on the Lord. And we have to ask for bread. We need food to eat every day. And it's interesting, isn't it interesting how much we think about food? I mean, you're thinking about what's for lunch. Think of how much in a day you think for lunch. You prepare a meal, you eat a meal, you clean up after a meal, and between the meals you're thinking about what's going to be the next meal. And we've all experienced this. You know, at holiday, perhaps particularly, you eat a meal, and man, you've overeaten, and you people will say, "Man, I can't eat another bite." And someone might make the comment, "You know, I'll never have to eat again." And the man who says, "I'm never going to have to eat again," a few hours later is rummaging in the refrigerator for a snack. And you're chuckling because you know it's true, and you've been there. We need that nourishment, we need that food, and that the significance of Jesus telling you and I to pray for bread, because you and I need to remember that we are utterly dependent upon Him. Being hungry, needing bread, isn't a consequence of the fall. Adam and Eve were created to hunger. The difference between before the fall and after the fall is now it's hard. Part of the curse is that the ground will not willingly give up its produce to you anymore. The problem is gaining food and keeping food and the distribution of food. Food becomes a problem. But Jesus teaches us to pray, not because food is a problem, but to remind us that we need the Lord. We need His providence. We're utterly dependent upon Him. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in preaching on this, says there is nothing in the whole realm of Scripture which so plainly shows our entire dependence upon God as does this prayer. The supreme folly of the 20th century is that of thinking that because we know certain laws of God, we are independent of Him. We cannot live a moment without Him. Jesus tells us, commands us, teaches us to pray for bread. Because He needs you and me to remember we need Him. We're dependent upon Him. But the second question is, why do we have to pray for daily bread? Why is it that we just pray for bread? Why is it, give us this day our daily bread? What's the significance of that? The significance of that is you and I need to be continually reminded of how much we need the Lord. We tend to forget. When the children of Israel were delivered from the the kingdom of Egypt, and they were rescued, and they were brought out into the wilderness. They didn't believe the Lord. They didn't trust him. They thought God brought them out into the wilderness to kill them and not to provide for them. And you remember the story. How are they to survive in the desert? The desert is not a place that's easy to live. How are they going to survive, these thousands and thousands of people? Well, God was going to provide manna for them. Turn to Exodus 16, and we'll just read a portion of the passage there where we have this account. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, people had been grumbling. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days.' So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, 'In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?'" And in verse 11, just to continue the narrative a little bit more, "The Lord said to Moses, 'I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.' And that evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, the thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?'" That's the word manna. "For they did not know what it was. And Moses said, 'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat.'" Now, here God is showing and demonstrating himself as the one who would provide for his people to keep them alive in the desert for all the years that they would end up being in the desert. But why is it that God didn't create this huge storehouse where they could get a whole bunch of manna and put it into the storehouse and eat from it for the next 40 years? It's because they, like us, forget. We get up from the table. Well, you know, none of you are worried about where your next meal is going to come from. You can go to the refrigerator and pull it out. You can go to a restaurant or a store or something and get some food. And we, like the Israelites, tend to forget. God provides for us today. What about tomorrow? The people of Israel needed the daily reminder that they needed the Lord. And you and I are told to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," to remind us that every single day we cannot forget we need the Lord. We need his grace, we need his providence, his provision, we need his care, we need to trust him every single day. And that's why Jesus commands you, pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's a recognition that you're depending on the Lord that day. You're trusting in him that day and in his care. But you will never in your lifetime quit praying this prayer. Why is it that you have to keep praying it year after year, month after month, day after day? Why is it you have to keep on praying? Because you understand something very important. Bread won't keep you alive for long. Bread will not keep you alive forever. You need something more than bread. You need something much more. And Jesus teaches us about that in a couple places. Come back to Matthew and then we'll go to John. In Matthew chapter 4, at Jesus' temptation, Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And that's a quote from Deuteronomy 8, where God's teaching the Old Testament people of God this point as well. But Jesus is there. He's fasting. He's 40 days. He's kind of the counterpart to Israel, who was 40 years in the desert. And he was fasting and he was hungry. And the devil comes to tempt him and says, "Look, you can, if you're God's son," and he didn't really question that he was God's son. It's more, since you're the Son of God, your father's not taking very good care of you, so why don't you turn these stones into bread? He was causing him, just like he tries to cause you, to doubt the goodness of God. And Jesus could very well have turned those stones into bread. He had that power. He had the creative power. He could have turned all those stones into bread and had a feast. But there's something more important than eating, and that's doing the will of God. And Jesus understood that he could turn those stones into bread very easily, but that would demonstrate his lack of submission to the will of his Father who put them in that situation. And for Jesus Christ, it was much more important. The hunger in him was greater. It was much more important to obey the will of God than to be well fed. And so he quotes that scripture, that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God's word, God's obedience to God's word is much more important than eating. Jesus is teaching we need something more than bread. What do we need? We need something that will feed us to everlasting life. And so turn to John chapter 6, if you would. Jesus is there, and a crowd is gathering because he had fed the 5,000 the day before, and they want more food. And he has to teach them something very important. In John 6, verse 26, Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him the Father has placed his seal of approval." And they have a little bit more of an interchange. And down in verse 35, Jesus states clearly what he's getting at. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And then also in verse 58, "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. You are commanded to pray, 'Give us this day our daily bread,' continually for the rest of your lives, because bread will not keep you alive for long. It will not keep you alive forever. You need something more than bread. You need to feed on the bread of life unto everlasting life. You need Christ. You need the nourishment of God's truth. You need the nourishment that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to feed on him, because whoever feeds on him will live forever. And as you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," one of the things you're praying for is for God to feed you from his truth and to feed you from our Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. To feed on him. We need grace. We need grace to nourish us and strengthen us and encourage us. And we need to pray for that daily. Not that we're saved over and over again, but we need to pray every single day for God's grace and for God to feed us and nourish us and encourage us. And one of the blessings of this prayer, this petition of it, as well as all the rest of it, is the Christian church has prayed this for centuries. And there have been times when they've prayed that they were hungry. And there were times when they prayed it and they were full. But in either case, in all those centuries, in all those times, they understood that they were dependent, utterly, completely dependent upon the Lord. And beloved, that's the point this morning. You need to know how utterly, completely dependent you are on God. And this prayer is a reminder of that. Not only for your physical needs, but your spiritual needs. And you will never outgrow your dependence upon God. And so may this petition encourage you to embrace and rest in the care of your God and Father. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great and wonderful mercies to us. Thank you for providing us with physical bread. Thank you so much for providing us with the Lord Jesus Christ, our spiritual bread and nourishment. We pray that each day we might know him and grow in him and love him. And that would bring us and we would find in him that encouragement, that peace of mind and peace of heart, knowing of your care and love for us. And that we might be encouraged in that nourishment to walk in your ways. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.